Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Questions Bar. Alina Z in LA, and I'm Hope Katz Gibbs here in Washington, D.C. We are so excited to bring in today's guest, Jennifer Kurtz Rubin. We met when we were little girls at summer camp, Camp Akiba in the picturesque Poconos, and I just thought, you know, I had this major girl crush on her because she is the coolest, and she still is. So before we jump into our three big questions for Jen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her company, Petroglyph. It was the pioneer of the do-it-yourself ceramic movement. It was created in 1993, and the first Petroglyph opened in Santa Cruz, California. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the company. But let me tell you quickly also about Jen. Originally from the East Coast, she moved to Southern Cal after college, and in LA, she worked in the film industry and production for Paramount and Disney. Of course, you did. And then there was the original concept for Petroglyph, and that was born. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun. We reconnected at a camp reunion, and it's been so much fun since, like fast friends back then and sort of resurrected fast friends now. It's been really, really nice to reconnect with you. So thanks for having me on here.
Well, I'll tell a little funny story before Alina jumps into question number one. I'll use these three questions to unearth kind of the story. So we go deeper to tell the story. You know, I do tons of interviews with people about their lives and their businesses, but Alina came up with these three questions for the questions bar to take it like even deeper, and then everything surfaces up. So here's to the questions bar. But before we jump in, I have to tell this funny story. So Jen and I were sleeping in this summer in this bunk, right? So if you've ever been to camp, it's these wooden cabins. And one of our dear friends snores. She doesn't know she snores. And Jen and I, like, we can't sleep. It's like the middle of the night, you know, you're here in the woods basically. And she's snoring. And so we start texting. And it's hilarious. We're in the bunks right next to each other.
Yeah, it's the modern version of passing notes back and forth.
It was hilarious. And
oh,
it was
my just, God.
You know, even more bonding. All right, Miss Alina.
And then we woke up and somebody mentioned the snoring, and she said, I don't snore.
It was like a bear. Like a bear, this woman snored.
You know what? A little hack for the future. My fiancé snores sometimes, and he's like, I don't snore. I was like, okay, sure. So I recorded it with video. And I'm like, this is you, honey. He's like, no, I'm so sorry. I was like, listen, when I go, baby, you're snoring. Turn around. Like, it's fine. You know, I'm not like trying to snore shame anybody. But I'm like, he knows that if he's on one side, he'll snore. Another one, he won't. So genius. Now he's listening. He's like, I don't snore. I'm like, you want to play it again? So, record it for the proof. So anyway, our question number one is if you can share a miracle that happened, and it can be an obvious miracle, like you were asking for something to happen and it happened, or it could be a miracle that looking back, it's a miracle, but while it was happening, it didn't feel like it. Any one you want to talk about, whatever comes up, the first story, would love to hear it. This is to remind people that miracles happen every day to everyone. And if it happened to them, if it happened to you, it can happen again.
Gosh, two stories come to mind, and there's probably a thread that connects them. One is I had moved to Fiji with my kids. We were living in Fiji, and I had only planned on being on vacation, and I ended up staying for the year, and I didn't have a lot of socks because I brought flip-flops and stuff for vacation, but I had one pair of running socks, and I used them every single day until I could get to town to get a new pair. And one morning I woke up and you leave your shoes at the front door, and one morning I woke up and they were gone. And I had a girlfriend who was going through a really bad divorce. And she said she'd been praying and like just making all sorts of wishes for these different things, like a house and secure finances. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give this a try. I'm not hugely religious. But I am a person of like belief and faith. And so I was like, all right, please bring my socks back. And the next morning there was a sock on my front door. And I know this sounds so small. It sounds so small and insignificant, but I was like, it kind of worked. Like just the asking and the believing kind of worked. And then, of course, you know the end of the story. The next morning, my second sock was there. And I was like, I'm running again. I'm running again. Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, was it a miracle? I would also say that, like, I can think of times in my life that things that I wanted that were really important to me came. And you don't really know how. But like in that moment, I honestly, when I had never met my husband and he was just a man coming in to meet with my boss and he walked through the door and like I knew in that moment, I hadn't said one word to him. So I don't know, how is that a miracle? But I knew it was when it happened, I guess is the, that, and I was ready to just, yeah.
Well, I think it is a miracle that A, in the last example with your husband, you saw him and something just told you. And that's, I mean, how many people live in this world? And it's a miracle to meet the right one. So, right. But to know that moment, and it is a miracle. And the socks appearing, like, where did they come from? And one day at a time, I feel like those are little things, but the, if the little thing can happen, the bigger thing can happen as well.
Yeah, well said. I think you also brought up a good point, which is noticing. Sometimes you notice it in the moment, like I did with Mike, and sometimes you don't notice till afterwards. Like it won't always be quite so immediate, but you can look back and be thankful and say, wow, that really was a miracle that happened.
You know, I wanted to say something that I tell people all the time is that the day before you met him, you did not know you were going to meet him. And if things are not going well, I try to get people to remember the day before their miracle has happened and then think, what if today is that day before the miracle? Because yeah. It's possible, because the day before you didn't know you were going to meet him, but the moment you met him, you
knew.
You
can change in a second.
Yeah. It can change in a second in a good way. And that's a miracle.
Yeah.
I want to know how those socks appeared, though. Like, really, how did those socks appear?
Isn't that funny? I'm pretty sure they disappeared from, like, there's a bunch of local not domesticated dogs, I guess.
Feral but to bring it back.
Yeah. Huh?
But to bring it back.
Like... I know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But, yeah, little white thing on my big grass. And I thought, yes.
I love that.
That's so funny.
Tell us about the miracle of your business, because that's an incredible backstory I don't want to gloss over.
Yeah. The miracle of my business. How would I explain it? There's so many thoughts. One of them was I jumped to this. I was in LA working at Paramount, working at Disney, and I was struggling a little bit. Like I just didn't really know what I wanted to be doing. And I loved what I was doing, but I knew I wanted something different. And I had been moonlighting at this ceramics place and kind of, it was difficult for me to go every Tuesday to a class because I was in production and that just dominated my schedule. And that was sort of where the idea for come when you can started, right? So instead of actually signing up for a class, it's just a studio that's ready to receive you whenever that timing is good. And again, same thing. Like there aren't many moments in my life that I can say I knew what I wanted and I went for it. And that was one of them. Like I was really clear. That was what I wanted to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I wanted to kind of move forward step by step. And, And so I don't know, like, I don't really even know how to explain it as a miracle other than I was definitely somebody who, you know, it's one of those, I never thought it would be me to be running this big business ever. It almost, the genesis of it was really almost because like, I didn't really think I was going to make it doing anything else, but this was something that I knew that I could do that I liked. And it slowly grew over time. And I grew over time, right? Then I started stepping into myself and stepping into, like, I knew, just like parenting, you know for yourself what's best. And running the company was the same way. Like, I totally had an innate sense of how I wanted it to be, what I wanted the customer experience to be, what I wanted the studios, the design and the decor to look like. The studios are very sophisticated, nicely designed, big open spaces, bright sunlight and bright lights. And, you know, like, I didn't want to just have a little shop with chairs and tables. You know, I wanted it to be more third space, that where we all go out, which actually is getting more and more important now with everybody being home for work and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the miracle, but that's, you know, it grew.
I think finding your path in life is a miracle, and making it successful is a miracle.
Yeah.
And having the challenge that you said, not being able to make it to the class, is a miracle, because it gave you the idea for the studio. So, and I think that looking through life through the lens of miracles is always going to be more uplifting, I think, for the future.
Well, and it's just like you said, like, you don't know before you're doing it what it's going to be. You don't know that that's good the day before the miracle happens. And that's sort of what this is. It's just a long string of miracles. It's like, you just make stuff happen and grow along the way. But I didn't know then that I would be here at all.
Exactly. Well, that's a beautiful thing. You don't need to know, just need to trust. That's the thing about miracles, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing about miracles. They're not, you don't create a miracle. The miracle is created through you sometimes, but oftentimes it's something happens that you didn't expect.
Yeah. And so, and to be open.
Yeah. You want to jump to the second question? Do you want to ask? Oh, you are on mute. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. So when you don't feel self-love inside, outside, what do you do to shift it?
Oh, God. Were these moments only less frequent?
Were they?
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, you know, okay, so there's the classic, for me at least, yoga, eating well, working out. I'm really big on doing exercise, like going hiking with friends. And, you know, I know we'll go and we're up the hill and we're just talking and purging and getting everything out. And then we get to the top of the hill and it's just, I feel better. It's, you know, you feel a little more released, I guess. And then more of myself can kind of be present instead of all wrapped up in low. I can definitely have a tendency to not feel like I'm enough. And one of the things that I've learned recently from a girlfriend, which she said, you know, I think you need to just resource yourself better. And I thought, you know, I understood in that moment what she meant about booking a massage appointment or an acupuncture appointment or finding, you know, deliberate people to talk to that can help, that can just help support. And, you know, I guess part of it is asking for what you need, because it's easy when you're not feeling good about yourself. It's easy for me when I'm not feeling good about myself to just be sort of silenced or quiet and not reach out.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, Hope and I were talking about it, and I love the idea of what you said about, I look at it as outside in, where if you feel shitty inside, you don't necessarily need to go in and try to bring yourself up from the inside, but if you do something outside, like literally outside, going to the class and working out, going hiking, but the outside picture can change how you feel inside. And sometimes it's the easiest thing to do is accepting, like, okay, I feel shitty, and I don't like myself, so I'm going to go on a hike and just let the people outside, let the nature outside shift how I think.
Your chemistry shifts immediately, or doing something for somebody else or being outside. Yeah. It shifts your chemistry immediately. So, I think some of it for me is getting clarity on, I don't know, I guess this is a little bit different, but some of it's getting clarity on what I want. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to go down that path.
Wait, don't stop yourself. That is, well, the older you get, right? So we are, like, just happen to be three Jewish women. So Jen and I are the same age. We're 60. Are you 61 yet?
I am. I just turned 61 on Monday.
Oh my God, happy birthday. When is your birthday?
July 28th.
So, and you are July 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We always had our birthdays at summer camp.
Yes.
How fun.
You know, and those memories, like, I can't remember the details of that. It's like, it's been pushed aside or it's gone, yes, happy birthday. But what I was, my thought was that, you know, and Alina's a little younger than we are, but at every stage of your life, you're trying to level up, right? Trying to figure out what the next thing is to actualize your life, make it better, give something back. And at this stage, at least I can speak for myself, I really want to have my life mean something, and not so much as a legacy for me, but just take the energy and disperse it, right? So on my kids, on my friends, through incandescent work, all the magazines we do and all the people we have the privilege of talking to, and, you know, that they trust us enough to share their inners with us. And so I think that that's part of that inside out, outside in thing, right? That we've been talking about. It's been a topic that's come up quite a bit. So for you, you know, what is it that you want to give back to the world at this stage of life?
Yes, on kids. I mean, here I am in LA having, you know, some time with both my kids and really enjoying. And I have a lot of young people who work for me, right? I have a company of 65 people. And the mostly women who work for me that are kind of young and upstarting, you know, it's kind of their college job or just after they've graduated job. And it's really important to me to be a guiding force, a positive guiding force, where they're learning their work ethic, they're learning financial literacy about whatever it is with the stores that, you know, I'd like them to be learning. And that's really important to me, is just making sure that those first work experiences, that they feel safe and good and guided and positive. And then separately, I think I'm just obsessed with animals lately. I want to go take care of elephants in Thailand. And I want to, I don't know, a girlfriend of mine runs a horse rescue place, and I'm going to go spend a week with her helping tend the animals. And I don't know, there's some love that feels really good to give.
Jennifer, you're born on 28th July 1964?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your chart. Hope knows I do these charts.
Oh, tell me.
Tell me about me.
you
know everything about you, but you're actually in the right direction when you said you want to go and, like, help animals. And I actually have been dreaming about going to Thailand to an elephant rescue. But your destiny is to be a hero in a way of some sort. I'm not sure what that is, but helping, and you have a lot of beauty and a lot of transformation, and, like, super smart and very deep person.
Thank you.
But your purpose in life would be in saving somebody, doing something good, as being a hero of some sort.
Cool. Yeah, that fits.
Very cool. Yeah, that's great.
And it actually transitions into our final question as we wrap things up. So, do you want to ask it, Miss Alina?
If you were president, and what would you do the first thing you would do to make our country better, to make our world better? What's the first thing you would do? And you can, like I said, I'm going to make it a requirement for every single person to take a course in self-love and to fill their cup with joy so they can love themselves and love their neighbor. That's like the first thing that I would do. Whether it's, you know, reasonable or possible, I'm not sure, but that's what I would do. So.
Right. Oh gosh. Okay. So if you think that way, that's like, I always felt that way about med school, that med school really needs to include bedside, you know, care of the patient just as much as it needs to have the intelligence of medical procedures and stuff like that. So I like that approach. I guess for me, education's a big deal and our education system, and boy, would I elevate teachers' jobs and pay and I guess maybe the structure of it so it suits a more modern life of kids and families and stuff. I mean, I haven't really thought it through. I don't know what programs I'd put in place, but that feels important to me. Just it's so foundational for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would definitely in my if I was a president, I would give all teachers a huge raise. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
All
that'd be amazing.
Needed.
Yeah, I mean, we trust them with the education of the next generation. How are we not honoring them? And nurses too, right? They're taking, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was having my kids, thank God for those nurses. What a mess that is and how hard that is. They should make a fortune doing that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, they should be, yeah.
Crazy.
Compensated commensurately with the efforts and energies and the love that they put in. That is not a job you go home and leave at the end of the day and think, yep, I'm done with my work day. I mean, there's prep for the next day. There's so much thought about the kids and what you do. And
they have to buy their own school supplies now and maybe food.
That's ridiculous.
The whole thing is bonkers. But we're going to bring this love together. Alina and I and all the people that are working on the Empowered Together project, right, which is how we came together with Cynthia DeLorenzi and our friend in Canada, Ava Ross. The four of us have started this international women's group where we're trying to raise each other up. So hopefully we'll get you to join us and be another LA ambassador, California ambassador. Yeah. And all of it, you know, because if we can make the love thing the thing, right, and fight this evil that is taking over the entire world. I mean, it's the only thing we have the power to do, right? Inside job and then sharing it with all the people we adore.
You know, I was watching this Christmas movie called A Hollywood Christmas. Have you heard of it? It's very cute. I love Christmas movies, but it's about, it's a
Hallmark channel.
well, this one is, I don't think it was a Hallmark, but it's on, not Paramount. It's on HBO Max. But what the cool thing about it is that it's a Christmas movie about a Christmas movie production. It takes place in the summer here in Warner Brothers Studio, which I can see from here. And they're making a Christmas movie. And the story about making a Christmas movie is a Christmas movie in itself. Like, it's really cute. But there is one moment when there's this really bad person is doing that bad thing, you know, how every Christmas movie has. And then the girl goes, wait a minute. What if that she's not a bad person? She was just hurt. And so she goes up to her and she's like, why do you? She like Christmas? And she finds this big pain point. So she says, how about I remove this pain point by doing this and this? And this woman goes, oh my God, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, it's a happy ending because this awful person got to feel love for something that they used to feel love, but they were hurt. So I'm thinking if we bring in more love and help other people heal,
yeah,
maybe then they will be doing nice things because they won't be like hurt people.
So reactive. Yeah.
So
I love it. Well,
I love what you ladies are doing. It's really just beautiful. And thank you. I feel honored to be welcomed in. I think it's just really positive and what's needed. You know, I heard something the other day about, you know, darkness comes and it doesn't win. It doesn't ever win because lightness always comes back. And then, you know, there's just a flow. And right now it does feel like dark times and light will come and we can help, you know, magnify that, I think. And then, you know, light wins.
Mm, yes.
In the end, it always comes, you know, it never it never dies. It always does come back. So
yeah, we're going to stand together and make sure. So I took a page from Alina's book. I now have roses in the frame. I bought it for my daughter because she hit a financial goal that I'm so proud of her. So red is her color. So these are for Anna. Congratulations. She's, you know, I love seeing her video business is just booming. AnnaGibbs.com. Check it out. She makes wet movies out of people's weddings. It's insane. The talent. Well, she's not.
Writing that down. That's great.
Yeah, super cool. And she does all kinds of love stuff. She follows the light and the love, she says. And so the roses are a reflection of that. And
also a reflection of you, Miss Hope. Just saying.
Well, you know, one of my best friends, Kevin, he said, creative people make really cool kids. I thought, that is a huge compliment, right? My ex-husband is, you know, still my bestie. He designed this book and he's the art director for Incandescent. And, you know, we just spread the love. The painting, I'm so excited to explore and promote Petroglyph. I think that is so cool. Everyone should come together, use their creativity, paint, use their hands, use their hearts. And beautiful Alina, thank you for being the co-host of this show.
Thank you. You know, Jennifer, I have a question before we sign off. Do you ever do classes where people go in to create something not good? And that's badly spoken, but what I mean is, when I talk to clients, sometimes they have this heaviness and I say, well, what if the heaviness had the weight? What if the heaviness had the texture? What if it had the color? What if it had the temperature? What would it feel like? And then we imagine that then we destroy it. However, we need to destroy it. Okay. Or we talk to it and like, hey, what's going on? Like, so, but have you ever thought of, instead of making this beautiful plate, making something so ugly and like, and putting all of the negative energy into it. And then like, there it is. And then burn it, or you can repurpose it and you can say like, this is the ugly stuff. And then put all of your energy into the ugly. And then you go, okay, well, I'm going to let it recycle and give it, you know, put it in a big pot. Maybe all of people put their shit in the pot. And then you create a ritual where you start a pot and then you recycle and becomes fertilizer. And then you make something beautiful. Yeah. You can make something beautiful out of it.
I love that idea. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love that idea. No, I haven't. You know, one of the things I've wanted to do is go back to school for like an art therapy degree,
yeah,
learn more about process-oriented art. And I guess it's a little like the Japanese, I can't think of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Where you use the gold to all back
Cynthia
together.
Writing a book. That is Cynthia's new book that we're going to publish. Yes. About putting gold in the cracks. And that looks like as a metaphor for your life, but actually in physics. But I think I just heard a class for the Empowered Together Network conjured up. I think that you two should do this as a workshop.
I know. We should do it as a workshop.
Yeah.
We should do it in the studio where we help people take their trauma and recreate it. And also, you know, when you look at a trauma situation through the miracle lens, like people call it not survivor, but the thriver or something like that. Like, I can't remember what the term was. But if you take the trauma and you create something with it, and then you say, and what if it was a miracle? What if this trauma was a miracle? And then you create something that symbolizes something that could have not happened have it not been for the trauma.
Right.
And then you can honor, because it already happened, the trauma happened, you cannot do anything about it. But what you can do is reframe it and take a gift that the trauma gave you. And that new thing that you create from the trauma can be a symbol for your house, that any kind of shitty situation can be fertilizer for beautiful flowers, something like that.
Cool.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
And I would love to create something like that. That'd be so fun.
That too.
Super cool. There's so much we can do just putting our creative hearts together and helping people. And the whole thrust of this is knowing that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Because that's where we feel really desperate and isolated. So we're going to throw all this light into let's connect. We got you, sister. You
know? Exactly. And I'm planning to be in Carmel in September, October. We'd like to go there for a week. So maybe I can come down. We can do a class or something.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, creativity
Oh, ladies,
abounds.
thanks so much.
Thank
Yeah.
you, Jen. And everybody, check out Petroglyph, especially if you are in Northern California, so you can go take a class. And we will be back to speak with you next week on the questions bar. Thank you, beautiful Alina Z. I'm Hope Katz Gibson, DC, or just outside, raising our glass to all the questions that we want to answer for ourselves.